from the Town Fair Tire Studios. Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
All right, well, my Malcolm Butler thunder has been stolen, so how about this? Belichick, on whether or not he's going to return next year, said, "I'm not going to answer the same question every day. That's ridiculous." All right, well, Tom Brady certainly showed up.
Hey, Bill, answer it once.
Yeah, just say yes.
Just answer it. What do you mean?
That would be helpful.
That's so disingenuous. I'm not going to answer it every day. You haven't answered it yet, Bill. That's not... What's he talking about? Sorry, McCone. Keep going.
All right, well, Tom Brady certainly showed up last night. He threw for over 500 yards, 3 touchdowns. How good actually is that game? Well, it was just the 6th time in NFL history a quarterback in the regular season or the postseason has thrown for 500 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. It's the first time a quarterback has lost when doing that, Brady, after the game.
We did a good job in the second half. First half, you know, we had a lot of yards. We just didn't have a lot of points. That came back to kind of bite us in the end.
All right, Matt Patricia adding to the Lions for their head coaching gig. Multiple reports out that Greg Schiano is expected to be named the Patriots defensive coordinator. However, Bruce Feldman has tweeted out early this afternoon that he's told Schiano hasn't decided whether or not he's leaving Ohio State yet, and Brian Flores could get promoted to defensive coordinator in New England. Schiano could also have a job with the Pats in another capacity, but still hasn't decided whether or not to make that move. Sports Hub Headlines, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Make 2018 the last year weight loss is your New Year's resolution. Lose it fast and for life with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. I'm Tim McCona, Boston's home for sports, 98.5. The Sports Hub, your next update, 30 minutes.
Make it your home page.
A connection.
98.5, thesportshub.com.
Matey.
Well, you're at work.
Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number 3, Zoe and Beetle. No Zoe, no Beetle. Night program takeover. What a day for it, huh? As I said earlier, if losing the Super Bowl wasn't a big enough kick in the nuts, you're stuck with Jones and Cattles till 2 o'clock with all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. As a wise man came in and said in the break, Cattles, nice football team you got there in New England.
Yeah, speak for yourself, Jones, by the way. I don't consider myself a kick in the nuts.
Quickly.
Hey, URI is up to number 18 in the AP Top 25, so
there you go.
Suck on that, Jones.
No, that's
undefeated
a good...
Undefeated in the A-10,
Let's
baby.
Let's go, Rams! Yeah. 14 in a row.
You want to talk about Langevin's 12 and 18
no,
on Friday night?
Honestly couldn't care less. I honestly could not care less. Stop it, both of you.
It's because Northeastern's not good.
Bean pot tonight. You guys want to talk some bean pot now?
Let's go, babe. We got 2 more hours. Let's do this.
Bill's on his conference call right now, right? And I may have misspoke earlier. Not misquoted Bill, but he wasn't done on Malcolm Butler. So I'm going to reread you the one comment. Quote, "I respect Malcolm's competitiveness, and I'm sure he felt like he could have helped. I'm sure other players felt the same way." Dante Hightower. "But in the end, we had to make the decisions that were best for the football team." Asked again about Butler. Good job by these people on the conference call. Like, let's follow up. And I think generally, by the way, the beat writers have done their job on this story. They were pretty dogged in following up. Curran was chirping the hell out of Patricia on the podium last night. So they've done a good job on this one. They've let a lot slide this year. They've done a good job on this one. Asked again about Butler, Belichick says, "It would be a much longer discussion. There are a lot of things that go into that." So I just said, Bill's got his thick skin. He's hinting at a little something with Butler. To which I would say, well, Bill, come out and answer the question, first of all. He's being evasive on his own future. Come out and answer the question, Bill. But there's also this. If what he did was so bad, why is he active? If what he did was so bad, why did he play last night? Because I keep hearing people say he did not play. That's inaccurate. That's wrong. He didn't play on defense, but he played. He played a singular snap on special teams. I'd feel much better about giving Bill the benefit of the doubt, Nick, if Butler were either inactive or at least didn't play in any capacity. Then I'd go, oh, okay, Butler really must have screwed up. For Bill not to make him active, Butler must have really screwed up. But Bill made him active, and he played him. He was on special teams, but he played him.
Yeah, I think...
Real wishy-washy by Bill. So to try to play this game, there's a lot of things that go into that. Maybe he's talking roster. Maybe he's talking different machinations. Maybe he's hinting it off the field. He's being evasive. He's not answering. But Butler would have had to have done something egregious. And if he did something egregious, why is he active? Why did he play on special teams?
So I think there's a lot of different questions that are out there right now. And to me, if it was disciplinary, which no one has said it was, no one has reported that it was, Bill hasn't said that. So I'm just going to look at what Bill wants us to look at, football reasons. The reason why he was active is Jonathan Jones was hurt. I honestly believe that. Jonathan Jones was hurt against Tennessee. I think if Jones is healthy, he plays. I think he is dressed, and I think Butler is probably not dressed. So in case of emergency, you would go to Butler. If Gilmore breaks his leg last night in the first quarter, if somebody blows a groin out or something, if something crazy happens, then you probably see Butler eventually in that game. As far as the special team snap, I don't know. Like I said, maybe someone was dinged up. I know Marquise Flowers. I said this earlier on the show. Marquise Flowers was dinged up during one kickoff. Maybe he had to sit out a snap, and that's the snap that you ended up with Butler out there.
But
Chung
again,
got...
Like I hear you, but if what he did was so bad, then what you don't let him play.
Yeah, again, so...
Even if you're really shorthanded.
But I just said, I'm not going off of it's disciplinary. If I'm going off of it's football, the reason why he's active is because a numbers game. Now, if it's disciplinary, you know, again, was it... If it was, first of all, disciplinary, then what was it? Because if it was bad enough, then maybe it was bad enough to sit him out and make him inactive. Maybe it wasn't bad enough to completely phase him out of the game and say, hey, okay, last-ditch effort, if we need somebody to play cornerback, we can go to Malcolm. It did not reach that level of he's dead to us, right? He's just not playing in this game. Another question, and this was asked of Belichick by Phil Perry on the conference call. Why Johnson Batamosi was the guy to play when the Patriots decided to play three corners, Belichick said he practiced it the most. So Belichick says they went to Batamosi in three corner schemes because he was the guy that was playing the third corner spot for most of the year, which I would say, don't we always look at the Patriots and we talk about the ability to do several things, right? The versatility. And the idea behind Malcolm Butler was that the most value out of Butler was not even on the outside. Before the season began, a lot of people said the best thing about Butler was his versatility, the ability to play in the slot, to play outside, to not play those big receivers, etc. So, I mean, now you're telling me that the guy's incapable of playing as a third corner,
yeah.
Which I'm not buying.
No, he's lost it. He went from playing the most on defense to now he can't play. Football reasons don't fly. And when I mean, that might be Bill's logic, but then that's stupid. Like, that's dumb. If you think all of a sudden Batamosi and Richards and Eric Rowe deserve to play over Butler, and even if you thought that going into the game, and then you watched with your two eyes and watch how the game was unfolding, it can't be football reasons. It's got to be something else. Bill didn't like his behavior. He missed some sort of deadline for them, some sort of curfew. I don't know. But again, if it's disciplinary, then how bad could it have been? Because Bill's sending mixed messages there.
So, again, you want more updates from the conference call?
Yeah, if you have them, yeah.
All right, so...
Are these on Butler or no? Because I have a few others,
okay,
if they're not.
Not on Butler, but I will jump off the Butler thing, and Evan Lazar, somebody who I absolutely respect, he breaks games down and he writes for the Herald, he makes the point of, hey, if you're taking Belichick at his word, it appears that the Patriots wanted to go with bigger bodies in the slot, like Chung and Batamosi, to have the heavier nickel package on the field to stop the run. And my response to that is, okay, that's good and fine, but when you're seeing your defense get torched, do you bail on the original
right.
plan?
Exactly.
Do you say, we're getting torched, time to change it up. Maybe the heavy nickel that we had thought about is not quite working.
No, remember what Bill did in the Super Bowl against Seattle when Kyle Arrington was getting torched and torched and torched? He just left Kyle Arrington out there, right? He didn't put Butler in at the end of the game. He just left Arrington out there to get torched, remember? That's what Bill always does. So it just makes no sense. Here are two other updates quickly. On Gronkowski, he said at the end of every year, every person goes through some sort of process at the end of the season, get pretty drained, especially after a year like this, says right after the game, not the time to make a decision. That echoes what Cattles was saying earlier. Belichick also said he has no idea if McDaniels is leaving, says we'd have to talk to the teams involved. So there you go. That runs the gamut for Bill on his conference call. Anything else comes out, we'll be sure to pass it along. Let's go to Tom in Concord. What's up, Tom? Tom.
Hey, guys. I appreciate taking
Tom.
My call.
Tom. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, so I'm going to criticize Bill, all right, just like we did 2 years ago in Miami. I mean, right with the first third down play, I was like, rut-row, right away. I'm like, this is going to get ugly, and it has every right to be. I mean, he didn't just punish Butler. He punished the team. He punished Brady. He punished every Patriots fan. I mean, in the second, at the end of the half, the way they defer, and then the way they get a big third down play, and he doesn't use a timeout with a minute 45 and a half, but he uses one after the first down. And then I'm expecting second half, okay, Butler's going to come back. He's going to be all fired up. He's going to have a nice second half because we need him because we're not having getting no pressure from the quarterback. So we need good cornerbacks. And, you know, let him serve. Let him serve. Like, he had his first half out, and now, like, we needed him second half.
Tom? Yeah, I mean, Tom, Tom. I can't believe he didn't go to Butler as an in-game adjustment. Like, fine. So exactly what Lazar just said, and you just said it, Nick, I said it. Like, you can't adjust. So now the plan was it's Jordan Richards and it's Bottomosi and it's Rowe, but they all suck and you can't adjust. Your plan was Kyle Arrington. I just said this. Your plan was Kyle Arrington in the Super Bowl against Seattle. You adjusted. That's what Bill does. I thought that's what Bill's great at. That's why when they shove do your job in my face or when they shove two Bills in my face, like, I just, that didn't quite sound right. Work with me on it. When you shove these documentaries in my face, I should say.
Hey now.
I just, over and over and over again, I hear how great he is and how he's the best at adjusting and everything. And now what? Now he can't adjust because this is the game plan all week? That just runs counter to everything we believe about Bill.
Yeah. If you want to sit there and talk about him being the great defensive mind, which he has proven. We're not saying he's not.
Of course. It's a phenomenal defensive mind. It's just sometimes he screws up. Yeah, and he screwed up.
Exactly.
And it was a big spot to screw up in. That's all.
You all expected, like, at halftime, we talked about adjustments, right? I think I tweeted about it. Hey, look, we always talk about adjustments in this coaching staff, and we should see those in the second half. I thought McDaniels did a great job of adjusting. Defensively?
Not so much.
No.
617-779-0985. I said I wanted to get to their general approach to this game. We got sidetracked a little bit by some comments on the Bill conference call. We'll get to that thought process right after John Feinstein on an athlete who defied the odds and embarrassed his critics.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tech always wanted to venture out a little bit more. Parcells was kind of reel that one back in.
One in particular was the Detroit game. We were getting ready to play the Lions, and Miles Davis ran the run and shoot. So they got four fast little receivers out there, and they got Barry Sanders. And we were in play dime defense against them to try to match the speed that they had on the field. Bill's like, what are you doing? This is first down. You got dime in there. I said, well, I know, but like they got speed on the field. At some point, we got to get speed on the field. And Bill's like, jeez, you got all the answers. Then he slammed his book down and walked out. And, of course, the other coaches loved that. They're like, oh, that's great, you know. And
that's embarrassing.
That was embarrassing.
We used to kid each other about that one later on, too.
Yeah.
Because what happened in the game?
20-0. Shut
20
him out.
20-0.
See, that's a fun one for Bill to tell. I don't know that this one's going to go quite the same. Yeah, well, what happened in Super Bowl 52 is we never adjusted, and we actually lost. That one doesn't, that's not going to be as fun of a documentary as the two Bills 30 for 30. It's Adam Jones and Nick Cattles in for Zoe and Beetle here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, 617-779-0985. Like, I do just want to take one step back from the game and being hyper-focused on what went down in the game, and especially Malcolm Butler. I mean, that's where we spent the majority of our time today. That's where I think the majority of the time should be spent, and where I think a lot of people are frustrated. You still don't have answers on it. I get it. Bill Belichick kind of gave you a little bit of an answer today, or hinted at more, saying that it's a longer discussion about Butler, things that he's got to get into or that went into that. But he hasn't answered it directly. And so far, it's still under the guise of football decision, which means that's under the guise to me of Bill Belichick screw up. I mean, that's how I'd describe it. But if you take a step back and just look at their general approach, and Nick, this is something that I was critical about in the 2 weeks leading up to the game. Not that I thought they would lose. Not that I thought they'd lose in spite of it. I was so wrong about the game. I thought Foles would stink. He was awesome. I thought Peterson was in over his head. He was exactly the aggressive coach we always beg for, and usually the other coach turtles, like Doug Marrone, in the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship game. LeGarrette Blount, for God's sakes, was running on the Patriots. I was begging for Blount people last week to call in. I didn't hear from any of them, so they certainly don't deserve to call in today and throw it in my face. No one thought Blount was going to do that. But that's a long way of saying I was really wrong about the Super Bowl. One thing that did bother me for the 2 weeks leading up to the game was the Patriots' approach away from the field. Meaning, why is Tom versus Time, the documentary, dropping in the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl? Why? There's still another episode to come out after the Super Bowl. So were cameras around Brady at the Super Bowl? Is that even a minor distraction? And why is that being released now? Wait till after the Super Bowl to release the thing. It's two more weeks. Who cares? Bill Belichick. And I think Bill probably had less leeway in the 30 for 30. And we know it was filmed in the offseason. But still, that's dropping right before the Super Bowl. Okay, so now we're all talking about Bill and how great he is and sniffing his farts. Then on top of it...
What just happened?
You know what I mean. We're all, oh, Bill's so great. Oh, he's so awesome. The game plan's in the Super Bowl. He shut down Jim Kelly and the K-Gun. Oh, Bill Moore. Yeah, that's great. That's the stuff, Bill.
I think you're going to blow your nose.
Yeah, that doesn't smell at all. I love it, Bill. Yeah.
Your nose sounds a little full, Jones.
That's what we were doing during the 30 for 30. So we sniff his farts. Then on top of it, you have, I think, the coup de grace, Nick.
Okay.
And I know you disagree with this.
Yeah.
Why is Bill out at a basketball game in the middle of the week?
Yeah.
So just, it all goes back to their game plan stunk. They weren't really ready to go. At least on one side of the football, it stunk. They weren't ready to go. They didn't adjust. Bill just said, oh, we're going to stick in Bottomosi and Eric Rowe and Jordan Richards. That's our plan. And, that's my plan. I'm going to the Timberwolves game. Like, just they felt very cavalier about their approach all week. Even if you don't want to get into how much it cut into his game plan or anything else, it felt like those two especially, Brady and Belichick, were a little more conscious of the legacy and almost treating it like a foregone conclusion than seriously treating the team on the other side like a threat. That's what their actions told me. Regardless of what they said, that's what their actions told me. That cavalier approach, on some level, I think, came back to bite them.
Well, I don't know how you could say that about Brady. I mean, I think you completely take away, for all the people that were screaming about TB12 getting in the way, Tom versus Time getting in the way, all of those things, those takes are dead. Brady was great last night.
He could catch a pass, and his geriatric 40-year-old fingers could hold on to a fumble. But yes, in general, yes, he was great. I mean, he 500-plus yards. He was ridiculous.
Yeah, so I think we can unequivocally say now that TB12 and all that stuff didn't really make a difference.
Well,
this game last night.
No, I disagree, because Brady's approach can still trickle down to other guys. It didn't affect Brady. Does it impact other players?
But Jones.
Do they look at it and say, oh, Tom's worried about his legacy. We got this thing.
No, see, I just think that's
we
a reach.
We got this thing.
Yeah, I think that's a reach.
Bill's at a Timberwolves game. We got this thing. I think that trickles down to other players.
He was there for a quarter. When you look at...
But he was there.
Yeah, Jones, I'm not going to play this game with you. You can sell that all you want about going to the Minnesota Timberwolves game for a quarter being the end of the world.
You think their approach was normal to this Super Bowl?
This defense has had issues. See, this might be enlightening for people that didn't want to believe in the Eagles and thought that it was going to be easy for the Patriots just to chop them down. I'm going to stay consistent. This defense, all year long, from week one through the Jaguars game, through last night, had issues defending teams that would attack them horizontally, that would attack them downhill with the run game, that would, really just to make it simple, attack the front seven. They had issues with that all year long. That's not a this week approach thing. That is a lack of playmakers in the front seven. That is, they don't have Ninkovich, he retires. They lose McClellan and Hightower for a linebacking core. Now you're stuck with a guy like Eric Lee, who's completely lost on the trick play on fourth down to Foles, has no idea what to do because you picked him up off the practice squad of the Bills a month and a half ago. That's issue. As far as the game last night, to me it's fairly simple. This team had a small margin for error on defense. That margin shrunk even more when the decision was made to sit Malcolm Butler.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do, to me, Has nothing to do with Seth Wickersham. Has nothing to do with TB12. Has nothing to do with Tom versus Time.
Well, why do you discount the Wickersham thing? Why can't this be about legacies and Bill saying, hey, I know more than everyone else. I'm the greatest of all time. So, you know what? I don't need Malcolm Butler. I think that does tie into this.
I just don't think that's how Belichick... I don't believe that Belichick sits down and goes, I'm going to sit Butler to prove to all the people that the Seth Wickersham piece means nothing. The Wickersham piece was about...
I don't think that either. I just mean his ego's gotten giant.
I don't even want to talk about it. It's a story that was a month old. You know, I just think that that story was about Kraft, Belichick, and Brady played fantastic. This is about a lack of talent defensively. And this team all year long had to depend on the secondary to hold its water defensively. Belichick decided to take Butler out of the game for whatever reason. We don't know if it's disciplinary or not. We've heard nothing about discipline.
He's had opportunities to say discipline, and he hasn't. So.
So he obviously thought it was the right decision to sit Butler. I think, and I also believe the vast majority of people out there believe this, it was a mistake. I don't think that has anything to do with any story or any ESPN 30 for 30 that was shot. Because up until last night, Butler played. Butler played 100% of the snaps against Jacksonville. Something happened. So, whether it was overcoaching, whether it was discipline, and he's not saying, I would say this one last thing quickly. I do wonder if it's something to do with discipline and... whether or not, I don't know if Belichick would be this way, but let's not forget that Butler is a free agent. So I'm not saying it's the case, but I would not rule it out that Belichick is not throwing him under the bus saying something happened during the week because this guy has a chance to make money this year. And that might be Belichick's way of saying, yeah, I don't want him back, didn't love him as a player this year, didn't want to play him last night, but you know what? Let him get his if he can get his. Maybe it's a case of
maybe
we don't want anything dirty getting out there on Butler before he becomes a free agent. Again, I don't think that's the case. But if you're asking me why, if it was a discipline reason and Belichick is not saying it, number one, Belichick usually doesn't say stuff like that. But number two, this is a kid going into free agency and Belichick might say, well, we don't want him, but that doesn't mean I have to totally eviscerate him.
Possible. I feel like teams are going to get their answer on Butler. We may not get it.
I feel like
teams are going to get it.
No,
so
I agree with
whether
that.
Bill wanted to do that or not, I don't know. That's cutting him a lot of slack, and I know you're not doing that. We've both been all over Bill, but maybe that factors into his thought process. All I'm saying, Bill, instead of taking in Jimmy Butler and the Greek Freak next time leading up to the Super Bowl, maybe watch a little more tape of Jordan Richards and refamiliarize yourself with that Chiefs game and go, oh, yeah, Jordan Richards actually blows. Or, you know, maybe watch a little bit more of, I don't know, Eric Rowe. Pop in a little more tape, a little more self-scouting. Instead of watching the Timberwolves, maybe you'd remember how much those guys suck and how much worse they are than Malcolm Butler. I just think the Patriots had a cavalier approach to the game and on some level treated it like they already had it won. And even if Bill and Tom can still compartmentalize that and still deal with it, Tom clearly could. Nick is right about that. Does that trickle down to the other guys and go, oh, Bill thinks we have it? He's going to basketball games on the Wednesday before the Super Bowl. We got this thing in the bag. I think that kind of thing trickles down to other players. I do. So even if Bill can handle it and Tom can handle it, can everyone else? I think it's fair to bring that back. Second guess. I first guessed it when it happened. I think it's fair to second guess. 617-779-0985. McCone with all the latest in-hub headlines. And we're right back.
Sports Hub Headlines.
All right, some things starting to slowly trickle out in regards to the Malcolm Butler situation. Mike Giardi tweeting out that Patriots captains were aware that Butler was being sat, but exactly when they were informed, he isn't quite sure. He adds that Butler is an emotional guy, and he was nothing but happy as hell when he talked with him throughout the week. Bill Belichick, when asked about it on the conference call this afternoon, said it would be a much longer discussion. There are a lot of things that go into that. Bill was also asked if he planned on coming back next year. He said, quote, I've addressed that question. I'm not going to be asked the same question every day. That's ridiculous. Last month, Belichick was asked. He said absolutely he expected to be back. All right, with Matt Patricia heading to the Lions for their head coaching gig, there were multiple reports out this morning that Greg Schiano was expected to be named the Patriots defensive coordinator. However, Bruce Feldman tweeting out that he's told Schiano hasn't decided whether he's leaving Ohio State yet, and Brian Flores could be promoted to defensive coordinator for the Pats. Schiano could also get another job with the Pats staff, but he hasn't quite made up his mind. Celtics were 97-96 winners over the Blazers yesterday. Boston now off until tomorrow when they take on the Raptors. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of West Welker at 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Tim McConnell, Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update, 30 minutes.
So, at the Beatles, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here on the Sports Sub, it is Adam Jones, it is Nick Cattles, we're in for Zoe and Beetle. We're taking your phone calls, let's get right into them. 617-779-0985. Jonathan is in Falmouth. What's going on, Jonathan?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing great. Good.
You know, I guess my take in the whole game is listening, obviously, all the after thing. I think this whole year, like you guys had said, the defense has been suspect all year, and the defense lost that game for us. I mean, overall, I mean, they played terrible, and we could say, if Butler was in or not in, would that have made a difference? Of course, we'll never know. But you know what? They were suspect all year, and we still got there to 13-3, and the offense helped, and obviously stats. Even though I thought he was off in the first half, he had some wobbly throws, and, you know, stats aside, we left some points on the field, and could have that have made a difference? Maybe. But you know what? One thing this defense just hasn't done for years is had a defense built to go after the quarterbacks, and that's been an Achilles heel for us for many years.
All right, so Jonathan, you hit on an interesting point, and I was just reading something over at, I think, the Big Lead. I honestly forget where I just read this, but they were making the case that, I think it was the Big Lead, I think it was Kyle Koster at the Big Lead. They were making the case that the Patriots actually lost the game on their first three possessions, which to me feels harsh, but it does go back to what the caller just said, Nick. They did leave, despite scoring 33 points.
Yeah.
They left quite a few on the field. I think their first four drives, they were into Philly's side of the field. They had to settle for a field goal just like the Eagles did on their opening drive. Brady forces a throw in the double coverage to Gronk. They settle for a field goal. Then they miss a field goal on a bad snap, but still miss the field goal. Then what? Then they have to settle for another field goal of their own? Oh, no, they went for it on fourth down, excuse me. Then settle for another field goal of their own. Like, that's where we're at with this team.
Yeah, I thought, again, I've said this a couple times today. First half play calling was an issue, and I thought it was too cute at times.
But is that only play calling, or is some of that on Brady and the execution?
Last night I thought it was more play calling.
Okay.
I thought Brady missed a couple of throws. He missed, in the second half, he missed Gronk up the seam, but they scored later on that drive anyway, but he missed a wide-open Gronk down the seam at one point. I thought Brady overall was terrific.
Did you get him on him on the third down a little bit? Their first drive when he forced it to Gronk. I thought I saw you on Twitter getting on him a little bit.
Yeah. I thought he had Cooks open with the quick slant, and he forced it into Gronk. I thought that was a bad decision. I also thought one thing that's being overlooked, which was a bad decision, and it's not the end of the game, obviously, but I thought when Brady decided to run instead of chuck it out of bounds and save some time at the end of the half, I thought that was a major mistake. That was a boneheaded play by Brady. But again, overall, he was terrific.
When he looked 40. He doesn't look 40 often. Brady running with a refrigerator on his back looks 40, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I look at, those are decisions. That's not, you know, it's not a physical thing. That you usually see Brady when it comes to clock management, what am I going to do here, you know, save time. 99% of the time, he knows exactly what to do in those kinds of situations.
Well, he's got the answers to the test.
And it brings you back to what we were discussing early in the show. This team has been defined by a couple of things. I'm talking about the dynasty, the last 18 years. It's been defined by coaching, making sure you have the right adjustments, always putting your players in a position to succeed. But it's also, we've heard it time and time again, because they've deserved it, this team knows how to play situational football better than anyone else. Last night, that was not the case. Third down defense.
They got smoked in situational football last night.
Third down defense, fourth down defense. Again, clock management with Brady at the end of the half. Those little things, they come back to bite you in the ass when it's the Super Bowl. You're talking, you know, three or four plays can be the difference of winning. And when you don't handle those situations like you usually do, most of the time, you're going to end up falling short.
Let's go to Mike in Chelmsford. What's going on, Mike?
What dimension are we living in? I'm agreeing with everything you're saying, Jonesy.
Well, in fairness, Mike, they just lost to a backup quarterback, Nick Foles, so we have officially entered into a strange dimension. Al Horford's hitting game winners. Backup quarterbacks are beating the Patriots. You're agreeing with me. It's a strange dimension. I agree.
One thing that hasn't been mentioned, or maybe it has, but I've been listening for basically 24 hours straight, is that the shot in the arm that would have happened if you had been like 21, get in there. He would have shot out of that. It would have been like a bolt of lightning, like up everybody's keister. It would have been awesome. I thought that's what he was setting it up for, like revving it up, like revving that engine and getting to send him out there like a bat out of hell.
So, Nick, do you think, I mean, never mind Butler. I mean, I'm sure Butler would have played like a bat out of hell. Could that have given the team a lift?
Maybe, but I would hope it could have been the case, but it shouldn't have been. I mean, you're playing in the biggest game of your life. If you need Malcolm Butler to go out there on the field to boost your play, you're not approaching it right. You understand what I'm saying? So well, it could have been a boost.
So yes, but that they already hadn't approached it right at that point,
yeah,
right? So now maybe you
again,
need the shot in
but
the arm.
I don't think this is a mentality thing. I don't think this is an approach thing. I think this is lack of talent. This is a lack of talent thing. You know, Gilmore has been the best cornerback on the team. He was excellent last
willful
night.
Willful lack of talent, right? Like
right.
By holding Butler off the field. Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is
they had other,
I'm speaking,
their other issues.
I'm speaking from the player's point of view. Like, I don't think they didn't play great because they just didn't approach it right. I think they didn't play great because they're not great. Jordan Richards sucks. Eric Rowe is okay as a third corner. Certain matchups, fine. On the outside, good. Great. He played Julio Jones would help last year pretty good in the Super Bowl. But he's not as good as Butler. And so, you know, at a certain point, you can make up for lack of talent if everything else goes your way. If, again, situational football, if the offense puts up 40 points, you can win games in those cases. But when you take Butler out of the equation and your strongest point was your secondary, that's not a mental thing. That is just you're putting guys out there that aren't as good.
See, I think we're saying the same thing. I don't think the Patriots lack talent. I think when you take a talented player like Butler off the field, now talent becomes an issue with the replacements. I think they had plenty of talent overall to beat Philly. I think the coach deployed the talent incorrectly.
Correct.
I mean, that's what I think. I'm not making an excuse and saying, oh, at the end of the day, the Eagles were just more talented and they lost. I don't think that's what you're doing.
No.
I think they willfully kept a talented player, even in a down year, a talented player off the field, and they left scrubs out there like Jordan Richards, Eric Rowe, Johnson Bottomosi, they let scrubs out there and they played like scrubs. But it's not like they didn't have any options. Bill had plenty of options. He chose not to use Butler. That's on Bill.
And I just want to keep pounding this point home. We are going off of the premise, because Bill is the one that has given us this premise, that this was strictly football.
Yep.
If Butler thumbed his nose in any way, and Jones done a great job of poking holes, saying, well, if he did, then why is he active? And there's several questions to ask. If this was a discipline thing, then why is he out there in the first place?
Not only was he active, he played.
Right.
He played on special teams. Yeah. Why, if it was so bad, why?
So, you know, even if it was discipline, if there was something that is, you know, if Butler thumbed his nose to the coaching staff, if he was acting a fool during the week, missing curfew a number of times, I don't mind how they handled it. But we cannot sit there and judge the move made last night by Belichick off of disciplinary, because he's telling us, the guy is telling us, it is for football reasons. And for football reasons, it doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense. And if you think that you wanted to go bigger to try to fight off the run game, again, first half, you were getting smoked. You need to make changes.
You think? I have a theory. You think Bill saw Butler at the Timberwolves game?
Mm.
And he's like, what are you doing here? He's like, you're supposed to be watching film and getting ready for the game. Why are you? I'm the one blowing the game off. You're not allowed to do that.
I can tell you.
Do you think that's what happened?
It'd be tough, though, because Belichick was on the floor. I don't think Butler's getting floor seats.
It's a good point. Maybe you pass him in the beer line or something. 617-779-0985. Lottie, you waiting patiently. We'll continue with all your feedback next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're coming up on 1 o'clock, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Adam Jones, Nick Cattles, in for Zoe and Beatles, 617-779-0985. Working our way through all your feedback here the day after the Patriots' 41-33 loss in Super Bowl 52. You know, we've talked a lot about Butler, Cattles. We've talked a lot about some of the decision-making in that game last night. You know, mostly the personnel decision with Butler, but again, Patriots left some points on the field, some fourth down decision making by the Patriots, their situational struggles. I mean, we've gotten into some of the stuff in the game as well, but I think that's a little a little more difficult for fans to relive, if you will. We're still doing it. The futures of everyone being at stake, I find interesting. And when I say everyone, I mean, let's see. If McDaniels is really going to go to Indy, then I think that takes away any real smoke around the potential fire that Belichick would be leaving. Why would McDaniels come back? Why would McDaniels get cold feet? So if McDaniels really goes to Indy, then Bill's going to be back. And if you're asking me today, I think Bill's probably back. I think Brady is very clearly back based on his question and answer sessions with Jim Gray and with the media last night. He was left a little bit of a door open. He said there's no reason why I wouldn't be back. You know, it wasn't just a yes, but Brady seemed pretty firm. You know, you look at some of the other people, you know, the assistant coaches, and I'm not even talking McDaniels and Patricia now. I'm talking Scarnecchia. I'm talking Joe Judge on special teams. Ivan Fears, I heard Bedard mention in the pregame show yesterday. So, like, how many of the assistant coaches are leaving?
Yeah.
And if a bunch of them are leaving, not that anyone cares about Ivan Fears, but if they're all leaving, why? Like, what does that tell you? What's going on behind the scenes where these guys are all like, yeah, okay, it might be time for me to tap out? There's, of course, the Gronk stuff that we talked about earlier. Gronk, I don't know how you guys found out about that. Like the Gronk family hatched some nuclear secret now that no one could possibly figure out. The Gronks are thinking on a higher plane than all of us. And now they're like, wait a minute. You connected all the dots and you figured out our grand plan? I don't know how you found out about that. But I got to evaluate. It is a weird time. It's a weird time. And we all thought we'd wake up today, Nick. 3 in 4 years, a 6th Super Bowl, you know, planning a parade for the next handful of days. Like, that's definitely how I thought we'd wake up today. And I didn't think we'd be looking here at, you know, potentially, and the Patriots very well could be right back in the Super Bowl next year. They have the best odds to be back in the Super Bowl next year. But you look at it as potentially, you know, the end of a dynasty or the death rattle of a dynasty with a lot of people ready to go in a lot of different ways. We could get some fascinating answers this week depending on McDaniel's future, Belichick's future, Gronk's future. Like, there's a lot of balls still up in the air.
I think this offseason is probably the most fascinating offseason that the Patriots have faced. I don't know, maybe since Belichick's been here, honestly. You have,
yeah,
maybe since 04, but you still had a young Brady. You know, you lost Weiss and you lost Crennel, but you had a young Brady and you had, you know, young coordinators that you thought might be able to do the job. And, you know, now you're looking at Belichick being 65, 66 years old, Brady 41. Your OC and DC are leaving.
Maybe other assistants are leaving.
And you have other guys, you know, the Gronk question, which, again, I'm not going to treat as super serious. You know, if he says this a week or two from now, then I'd be a little bit more concerned. After the game, I'm going to wait and see what he has to say. Could have been emotional. Could have just said, yeah, well, I'm going to think about it. He just had a concussion that he got through. Maybe that was part of the thinking. But when you look at the team as a whole, you know, coaching staff and this roster, they have to answer a lot of questions roster-wise. You know, they made decisions, and I know people look at the offseason. There are a lot of things that happened once those decisions were made that the Patriots and Belichick couldn't predict. I mean, you didn't know that Alan Branch was going to pretty much give up. That was somebody who was going to be a major part of defending the run game. He pretty much quit on the team this year when he played. Then you lost Ninkovich to retirement. Then you lost, you know, your linebackers in Hightower, McClellan. So a lot of those things, they now need to go into this offseason with a plan to say, all right, we can no longer bank on those guys. Like, you can know, in my eyes, I thought it was somewhat iffy to begin with because of the story with the Steelers and who else? The Jets, about Hightower backing out.
Yeah.
Well, now you can't bank on Hightower. You just can't. They have to address linebacker. They have to address the secondary with Butler moving on unless they feel like Jonathan Jones is the guy. They've got to address several different things. Edelman coming back from an ACL tear. What's up with Malcolm Mitchell? Is a guy who's been injured throughout his college career, couldn't get on the field this year. They have a ton of questions. And, oh, yeah, your quarterback is now going to be 41. And as great as he played this year, again, he's going to be 41 next year. And you never know if he's going to be able to give you the kind of play next season.
It's so true. This is just a weird year. Like, if you take a step back and you look at everything, weird year. You know, it starts with, I mean, Nick just hit on a lot of them. Go to this. They traded away for basically their whole draft, effectively their whole draft, for a bunch of players to come in. You know, why? Why? I mean, that's just atypical. And, you know, Bill always zigs when you think he's going to zag, so maybe it's as simple as that. But that was atypical. Starting at the draft, starting early in the offseason, atypical offseason. They trade Garoppolo. That's weird. Like, how does it all tie in? I don't quite know, but it's another thing that gets your antenna up. Even the way everyone answered questions the last couple of days, leading up to the Super Bowl. Forget Gronk and the aftermath of it. You know, the crafts, well, I'm not going to answer that for Bill. You know, Bill, saying absolutely, but not really meaning it. Absolutely. Like, are we sure he's going to be back?
But do you think Belichick, and this is all just pure opinion, right? Do you think Belichick would leave the team in this kind of spot?
I mean, no, but he left the Jets in a terrible spot before, as was revealed in two Bills. He left the Vikings hanging out to dry when he told them he was going to commit to their defensive staff and then got cold feet and backed out to go back with Bill Parcells.
But I just think,
with the Giants. So do I think Bill would do that? No, but he's done it before.
But he has a relationship with Kraft that didn't have a relationship with those other teams, right?
True, true.
So I would also say, you know,
there also might be bigger egos at stake and legacies at stake and, you know, guys kind of puffing their chest out and not wanting to blink and... I don't know. I mean, there could be greater circumstances at stake, even despite that relationship.
You know, when people look at that Wickersham story, they tend to highlight the tension and the negative stuff. And I know why, because that was the main thing that came out of that story. So I don't blame them for doing that.
However, it was confirmed by the
crafts. Yeah, there was no doubt tension. But there was also something in that story that I hold on to, and that was Bill Belichick does not want to leave this organization in bad shape. He sees it as part of his legacy, how the Patriots are left when he walks away. And so if that is the case, if that is the truth, and people, if you hold a lot of things in that story as true, as I do, I hold that as true as well. So if Belichick is concerned about how this team looks when he walks away and thinks about that as part of his legacy, I can't imagine him leaving this organization with a guy who's going to be 41 at quarterback, without an OC and a DC, and several big decisions to be made. I can't believe that Belichick would.
If you're asking me, do I think he leaves? No, I don't think he leaves. If McDaniels gets cold feet and doesn't go to the Colts, then all of a sudden we're starting to speculate. I am starting to speculate. I don't want to speak for you, Cattles. I do that enough. I don't want to speak for you more on this topic. But if McDaniels doesn't go to the Colts, and a lot of prominent national people now are saying he's going to, I'll start to wonder why he came back. And what does that mean about Bill's future? And I think those are rational dots to connect. 617-779-0985. McCone with all the latest in the Hub headlines. We're right back with the final hour and all your phone calls.